What is going on? Am I hearing echo? Or was it just me? Anyway, what is going on? Welcome to another edition of Any Given Sunday. And this is the end of the week. Hopefully you had a great one. Apparently, a lot of people seem to think that the Baltimore Ravens did because we have concluded the 2024 NFL Draft. We are here today to discuss those picks, give our opinions on what we feel like the Ravens did or did not do. Now, more importantly, I would like for you in the chat to give me your opinion. Me personally, I don't really have an opinion, to be quite honest. I really don't have an opinion, but I really don't. But I want to say thank you to my co-host and the guests. How are you guys doing today?
Yolanda? Who's first?
Oh, the co-host. Well,
Brittany. I'm sorry, Brittany. Brittany. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Yolanda.
Brittany.
The guest will speak. I'm doing well. How are you both doing? How's everybody in the chat?
I'm drained.
I'm doing okay. Okay. Except for the fact that it's Sunday evening and I'm here.
All right. That sounds like a great, I'm glad you're doing well. It sounds great. How about you, Hendo?
Appreciate it.
I'm drained. Like, I don't know what, this has been a trying week or so for me. And I want to start off by apologizing for not having a show last week. We missed the show last week because unfortunately there was a tragedy.
Well, we can always make up for it. And do like stream one day this week.
I'm still recovering. I'm still recovering. So for those of you,
that's quite a face to make considering you know what happened.
But this is crazy. So this is all right. Let me tell you a story. So last Friday, went to the store, like I always do, and for some reason, this gentleman decided that looking at his phone was a little bit more important than looking at the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there in the middle of the road and I see this guy coming at me and I'm like, he's not stopping. So then I go to move out the way, but apparently he didn't slow down and he hit me and I did one of those Saturday morning kung fu flips and just twirled around in the air and hit the ground in the middle of Liberty Road. It was not a good time, but luckily no internal injuries. I'm doing fine, but the thing that kind of got me was there was this individual.
You lost.
I'll never. Huh? What? Huh? What?
You lost your soda.
I did. He's going to pay for that. I lost my soda. He's going to pay for that one. But more importantly, there was this individual. I said, you know, I'm in the hospital. And I was in the hospital for a very long time, and they just kept saying, "When are you streaming? Are you going to stream? When are you streaming?" And I'm like, I'm in the hospital right now. Like, I'm trying to get checked out to make sure I'm not bleeding internally. And they were like, okay, cool. So when you get out the hospital, hit me up because you need to be streaming. And I'm sitting here like, well, this goes to show you that people really don't give a damn about you. They just give a damn about what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mentioning any names.
Yeah. I think, Brittany, that's beyond me, but...
Because I think that I said like three or four times, I'm in the hospital and I'm hurting. I got hit by a Dodge Ram truck. By a truck. Not my car, my person. Like, I was standing in the street and he hit me. And this person like,
was struck by a vehicle. And I told you, go ahead and take the rest of the week because, you know, you got to get better. Yeah. And then I heard some other people was like, yo, get the hell on that camera and work through it. Again, I won't.
It was a couple people.
Say who it was.
It was a couple of people, but it is what it is. I'm doing better. I'm still a little bit sore and limping, but it is what it is. So let's just see who we got in here because we're not going to be here all night because I don't really feel like being here. Not really well. And Yolanda has a lot to say, but let's just see who we got in here. We got my man Bozell in the house. What's going on? We got Andrew. What's up, Andrew? Draven's in the house. You know, he thinks he knows. You think you know. You're kind of right. You think you know, but she don't really know.
He knows.
We got Chris right now. Coach Evans is in here. What's going on? We got my man Osmond, Jeremy Miller. Happy Sunday. We got Nana Raven. How you doing, Nana? Appreciate you for dropping by
and saying hello to Yolanda.
Well, she said hello to me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I appreciate it. I'm glad somebody cares about my well-being. I really do appreciate it.
Collectively, we are all glad that you are doing well and that you are on the mend.
Thank you. But you know, that person still like, yo, stream. Like leg pain, back pain, neck pain. but they want me to stream. But anyway, that's not our
hero. You're a caring individual.
Yeah, Lando was like, internal bleeding, that's where the blood's supposed to be.
No. No, it was a truck. It was a Dodge Ram. It was a truck. And it's crazy. And the crazy part is, you know how people sit there and say, you know, you can see your life flash before your eyes? I didn't see my life flash before my eyes, but I promise you, it's in slow motion. I promise you, I saw the man driving and I could see the light from his phone and him doing like this. And I'm like, this is going really slow. Bop. And that's just, it's not even funny. It's not funny, but it's not funny, but he hit me. And then he stopped and was like, did I hit you? As I'm laying in the middle of the street, he's like, did I hit you? I'm like, I'm not even going to be that guy tonight. Like, I'm not going to be my normal self, but I appreciate it. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And then at the end of it, he was like, hey, do you want me to drive you home? And I'm like, sir, you can't drive. I don't want you taking me anywhere. So
he had to tell you, like Michael Scott, like everyone inside the car was fine.
And I think there was a witness. And the crazy part is the witness, all I kept hearing was, get out of the street. Because I was on Liberty Road. And if you know Liberty Road, it's not a good street to be on, especially on a Friday. And I kept hearing, get out of the street, get out of the street. And then I went over to the side. And when all was said and done, I'm looking for the lady because I thought she witnessed it. She gave her card to the guy that hit me and left. I'm like, it's kind of weird, but it is what it is. But like, anyway, that's not why we're here. We are here to talk about the Baltimore Ravens and their 2024 NFL draft. And like I said, I want for you all to tell me what you guys think. Because for me personally, I'm not disappointed in the draft. I'm not happy with the draft. I'm not sad with the draft. To me, it went as I expected it to go. I said 4 out of the 5 picks, the Ravens were going to go defense. I knew they were going to select safety. I knew they were going to select an edge and a corner. I did not think they were going to select 2 corners. But they surprised everyone, and then everybody has their reasoning for it. Just for me, I just think that as long as these picks work out, this is where I'm at right now with the Ravens. As long as the picks work out and they contribute. Some of them are going to contribute later than others. We're going to get into it. We're going to go by each pick, and everybody gives their grades, and we're going to talk about this. But, I mean, I don't know. I think the draft dampened my mood. Like, I was in a really good mood. I started to heal. Some things started going right with me. I gave Comcast back all their equipment. I was feeling good about myself. But then the draft happened, and it kind of was just like, So we're going to go pick by pick. And once again, I want you guys in the chat and on the panel here to let me know which grade you would give the picks that the Baltimore Ravens have. Now, with the first pick in the first round, the Baltimore Ravens selected cornerback Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson. And I know that everybody is enamored with Nate Wiggins' 4.28 speed. Yolanda, what's that face for?
I'll let you finish, or well, not let, but please finish, and then I'll weigh in.
Everybody's enamored with his speed, his coverage ability, and I like Nate Wiggins coming out of Clemson. Being that I'm a Florida State fan in the ACC, I've got to see a lot of this young man, and I think that he is an outstanding corner. And I've explained this from video to video, live stream to live stream. Good initiative, bad judgment. I think that this was a great pick, but not for us in the first round. And a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, the way that the board fell to us, there wasn't much left as far as the offensive lineman went. And to that, I would say this is the same thing we've done in years past. That fourth round corner, did we really need him? That fifth round quarterback that we could have gotten in free agency, did we really need him? All of these picks are not going to make this team. Even, you know, I know a lot of people said with TJ Tampa, oh, man, he's a dog. That's somebody I wanted. This is somebody that I was looking forward to. Could this be another Sean Wade pick? Could this be another Caillou Blue Kelly pick that just really doesn't make the team? Because couple years ago, the Ravens drafted 2 cornerbacks in the fourth round. What are you going to do about those guys? And I just want to let you know, I got a message from Pepe Williams before the stream. He wanted to let everybody know he's doing fine. And now that he has known competition, he's going to step his game up, and he sent a picture that he wanted me to share with you all. He said, hey, I'm recovering. I'm not going to be hurt this season. That's I'm going to do my thing. That's not him. That's not or was that Jalen Nabhan? Jalen Nabhan. Which one is it? I can't remember which one it was. It's that IR looks so similar to me. I really can't tell the difference. But I will say, for listen, I don't go by all the pundits and all the draft grades that are always given out to people. But I just thought that this really made my day. Like I was in a funk, and it's kind of made me laugh a little bit when I read it. So this was somebody talking about TJ Tampa. And it says, he is a physical in-your-face boundary corner without premier athleticism or downfield speed. So they're saying he's not athletic and he's not fast. Yeah. Also, he is not a sound tackler. But the part that had me just giggling like Suge was a very Ravens pick. Mm-hmm. Is that a diss to the organization? So you're saying he's not athletic. You're saying he's not fast and he can't tackle. Are you saying that's what the Ravens look for in a pick? And I'm not saying that this is true about this individual, but I just thought that just made me laugh. So starting with you, Brittany, let me know what you felt about the pick with Nate Wiggins being chosen at pick 30.
What? F? listen, and again, nothing against Nate Wiggins.
Right.
What's up, man? I think he's a fine player. I think he's even going to be a very, very good player in the league. But the Ravens had arguably the top secondary in the NFL, and they brought everyone back in the cornerback room except for Ronald Darby, and that was by choice. So what are you doing drafting a corner in the first round when you have three holes on the offensive line and holes in the wide receiver room? People can say that you know, there weren't a lot of old linemen left. You don't need a lot of old linemen. You just need one. And there was at least one, right? And if you didn't want to go that route, four wide receivers went immediately after this pick. It was a ridiculous pick from the Ravens, but it's what they always do.
Okay, Yolanda, because you look like you have a lot to say.
I do. There's a lot to unpack for me with this pick. It's kind of like a double-edged sword. On the one hand, I think he's going to be a good player. At least I hope he will be a good player. And he, you know, will he be an instant starter? I don't know. Probably not. But if anything happens to Marlon Humphrey, he could find himself with a starting role. The issue that I have with this particular pick is I wanted, and I put, you know, like I put a disclaimer out, like, please, Ravens, do not draft a corner in the first round. And what did they do? They drafted a corner in the first round. So I was really upset about that. Not necessarily Nate Wiggins. So it's not a slight to him. Although I am a little concerned about his size. He seems to be a little smaller. How is he going to fare? How is he going to match up against those big body wide receivers in the AFC? That is something that I'm looking for, or I will be looking for. But like Brittany said, we had pressing needs at O-line. We had pressing needs at wide receiver. Why did we take him in the first round?
So you said that you were a little surprised, correct?
Yes.
Me personally, you know, I'm a student of psychology. I'm a student of I'm a student of paying attention to things. And unlike some people, I'm on the internet a lot, looking at Ravens things, looking at football, just listening to things. The first sign to me was all the publications in the beginning of the offseason, they started talking about, yes, the most pressing need for the Ravens is offensive line. The second most pressing need is probably wide receiver, then edge, then maybe corner. And as the weeks went on, they started talking about more and more corner going up and up and up. So I'm watching these Ravens publications, and they just kept talking about corners. So I'm like, they're just setting us up and letting us know what's about to happen. Then with the Rashad Bateman resigning with his extension, I said, oh, this is going to be the distraction that they need to take a cornerback in the first round. And everybody was like, oh, they took a corner. I'm surprised. That's why when coach asked me on his stream, I was like, yo, they're going to take a cornerback. Please don't be surprised. And it's probably going to be Nate Wiggins. Talented corner. But we've stated this a lot, that the Ravens were one game away from the Super Bowl. And as talented as Wiggins may be, is he going to help us get over that hump to make it to the Super
Bowl? No.
Now, down the line, is he going to pay dividends down the line? I think he will. But once again, you bring him in with the possibility of replacing a Brandon Stevens if he leaves in free agency, a possible replacement for Marlon Humphrey if you decide to get rid of his nutty self. But then what are you going to do next year in next year's draft? You're going to draft a corner in the first round again, because what you're going to say is, hey, we released Marlon Humphrey. We need another starting corner. We need a third corner. Because I don't know. I don't even know right now if Wiggins is going to get in over Mallett. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. He might. I don't see him like earning that starting role. Hey, Kimberly. I don't see him earning that starting role right away, but time will tell.
You better.
My biggest concern is when we make it to the AFC Championship, mm-hmm. we have to be able to score points. How does Wiggins help us with that? Yes, sure. He can certainly grab an interception, and if we're you know, fortunate, two. But beyond that, his primary responsibility is not to score points. It's to prevent the other team from scoring points.
All right.
So how does that help us with the deficiency that we ended with this past season?
Right. And listen, I think, okay. He said, GTR said, how many games did Marlon miss last season? Did he miss, what, six?
Five or seven. Something like that.
Six or seven games. And without another first round pick in fold, the Ravens did pretty well on defense.
Mm-hmm.
They did pretty well without him. And yeah. some could say the passing game got a little bit worse when he came back. Some could say. I'm not going to say that, but we did fine without him. Like listen, if you look on every level of the Ravens defense, they have high draft picks on every level, and they have high price free agents. High price stars on every level. So if you're missing a first round pick on one of those levels, it's fine. It's going to be mass because they have talent everywhere. You can't say that offensively about the Ravens. You can't say on the offensive line they have a star outside of Lindelbaum. You can't say that they have a star as far as wide receivers go. Zay Flowers, ascension. Yes, he may be that. We don't know. We just hope that he gets better, but he needs help. Running back, Derrick Henry. Yes, we're hoping he can be the Derrick Henry of old, but we really don't know. So the Marlon Humphrey thing, cool. But my thing is this. Even if Marlon Humphrey were to leave after next season or get injured after next season, you bring in another cornerback. You draft one then. You should draft for need now. And I said it in my last video. The Ravens draft for need when it's only conducive to helping out the defense. When you drafted Pat Queen, he was not the best player available at all. But you lost C.J. Mosley, so you brought him in. When, don't hurt me, Yolanda, when you drafted Adafe Owe. And I'm not. And this is not a slight at Owe. Owe was not the best player available. Owe, listen, there's a chain reaction that I've been thinking about all day long that could have happened from Owe's draft. If we didn't trade Orlando Brown Jr. and our second-round pick, because people forget we traded a high second-round pick along with Orlando Brown Jr. If we hadn't traded Orlando Brown Jr. and that second-round pick, we keep Orlando Brown Jr. With that second-round pick, we draft Creed Humphrey, who is a Pro Bowl center. Like, the chain reaction from that is crazy. It's crazy. And if we took T. Higgins with the Patrick Queen pick, who knows where we would be right now. So to me, they're always going to draft a defensive need, even though come playoff time, the offense cannot score.
I'm letting it go about the only comment. I'm just going to let that go.
But no, it's not even a shot at him. It's not to say he's not good, but he was not the best player available. And a lot of people said during this draft, we took Nate Wiggins because we did not want to reach on an offensive lineman. But we reached on a Patrick Queen because as good as Patrick Queen may be right now, we didn't project him to be that way then. We didn't project Adafe Owe to be a top edge in the league. We knew that they were raw projects. But it was okay to go for a reach with the defensive picks. But when it comes to offense, it's kind of like we can't do that. We can't reach for those guys. Like, we have to get guys we know. And if they're not there, we're just going to go defense again. We're going to go to what we know. When we start to get in uncomfortable situations, we go back to what we know. And that's what the Ravens do quite often. Mm-hmm. What's going on, Nisha? All right. So consensus, I give the pick a B off of talent alone.
I'm going to give it a C. I'm going to give it a C, a C plus. And it's not because of his talent, or it's not because I don't think that he's going to be a great player. It's because I was upset that we went corner first round. That's why the grade is lower. But if we're taking that factor away and we're just solely relying on, is this player going to translate in the NFL, then I would give it a B plus.
B.
I gave my grade for this.
He gave him an F.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. I'm sorry. Like I said, I'm like, this whole thing has just got me zoned out. All right, with the second round pick, the Baltimore Ravens took offensive tackle Roger Rosengarten from Washington. For me, it's a need. He's a player that's played left tackle, right tackle. I think he's going to come in and fit nicely. And if anything, he's going to provide competition for what we have now. Because what we have now, we don't know. And a lot of people jump on us because they're like, you know what? Ben Cleveland's paid his dues. It's a contract year. We don't know what we're going to get from him. We don't know what we're going to get from Falele. We don't know what we're going to get from Jones. And that's exactly the point. We don't know what we're going to get. I think that's the whole thing. Through Lamar Jackson's first 6 years, for the 5 out of the 6 years, we've been playing, let's see what happens. Let's find out if this guy can play. Defensively, we never do that. We have 2 fourth-round corners sitting on the bench, and nobody's saying, hey, why are we drafting a corner in the first and the fifth in the fourth round? Let's see if these guys can play. Let's let the young guys get some burn and see if they can go out here and flash their potential. You never hear that defensively. They're always talking about, well, you know, let's get somebody else. So to me, this one, I give this one an A. I give Rosengarten an A.
Definitely. I'm with you on that. This one I was very excited about, Rosengarten. He is 6'5", upwards of 300 pounds. He just looks massive. And he looks like he's no nonsense, and he's here to protect my quarterback. So I really like that. He reminds me a little bit of Tyler Linderbaum in the level of seriousness that he presents when I watched his draft interview. So I'm looking forward to him. I think he's going to be one of the players that we drafted who can come in and have an immediate impact. Swing tackle and, you know, out there defending for Penix, and versatility for him is definitely a plus to have on his resume. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. A for me.
Ravens, I believe Braylon Allen was drafted by the Jets. As far as Roger, I would give that an A as well. I thought that, you know, he's been a great pass protector in college, and that's what Baltimore needs. I don't like throwing a second round rookie out there and praying that he wins the job and is the starter day one. But as far as the pick itself, I think it was a good pick.
Yeah. We've had this discussion many, many times about putting the franchise on the back of rookies. And hopefully he comes in and does his thing. But the one thing that kind of gives me pause, and I think that he's going to do well. Don't get me wrong. I think that he's going to do well. But what are you lining up next to him? What if he tries to overcompensate for the person next to him not doing his job? I mean, who are they slating there? Cleveland?
Mm-hmm. Ben Cleveland. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's going to be his
That's going to be his running mate, possibly.
That's going to be his running mate, Ben Cleveland.
All right. Well, I mean, listen, everybody seems to think that the Ravens actually did well on this pick. Me, I got a little nervous. I'm not going to lie. When they got to that pick and I was sitting there and I was like, they don't go tackle. This is going to be a lot worse than expected. But they did the right thing. Free agency is still upon us. They still can go out there and sign somebody. That is the hope for me. I know Andrew said earlier they should go get Dalton Risner, bring him in. We're still waiting on June 1st cuts. But as of right now, don't do that, MDT. But as of right now, you know, we out here Bon Jovian. We living on a prayer. So there's that. Then comes.
But you then, halfway there though.
Huh?
I don't think so.
You don't think we have a prayer?
No, I said you're halfway there though. Cause I don't think so.
If you like Bon Jovi, or if you know about Living on a Prayer, please hit the like button. If you're new, welcome. Please hit subscribe.
Listen. We're halfway to the regular season, I guess. I don't know about halfway to fixing this offensive line, but
we're gonna get better. I'm confident. So what I'm hearing from people is that Dalton Risner, like you mentioned, might be joining us. So let's keep our hopes up for that.
All right. There we go. Animation's right there. Shout out to Nigel Jefferson for the $5. He said dope content. Appreciate you for the support. Appreciate you. You know, we try to do what we can, give a little bit of entertainment for the end of the week. So let's move on, because somehow 26 minutes and just slipped by and I didn't plan to be here this long. Now, this is the pick for me. This is the pick. And what have we, how long have we been doing the roundup? A little over a year?
Yeah.
A little bit over a year. And in this year, I personally have never seen Coach as dejected as I've seen him mm-hmm. when the Ravens took this pick. Like, I haven't. I've seen Coach be just like, ah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, come on, y'all. Like, what are we doing here? But when the Ravens took Adisa Isaac, edge from Penn State, his face dropped. I promise you, if you go back and watch that stream, you could see Coach Evans' aura leave his body. Like, he slumped in a seat like, And I understand for a lot of people, it may be a little bit of PTSD for Penn State edge rushers. I don't know. I don't know. I think in the third round, personally, I can't knock the pick as far as talent goes, because a lot of people say that he's talented. I know Chris said it was the right player, right price. But I still think that this was an opportunity for the Ravens to shore up or bring in a little more competition for the offensive line. And a lot of times what ends up happening with the Ravens is we've gone through the same progression for years. We've gone through, we wait, and hope players drop to us like other franchises aren't out there scouting and drafting as well. And then when teams swoop up these players, we sit back and say, well, you know, the guys that were on our board, they were gone by this time. So we had to take who we took. So for a lot of people, this was a decent pick, but I don't think that edge was really a priority. We still have OA. Ojabo's going to come in, and I'm telling y'all, Ojabo's going to do a decent job this year, because next year is contract year. So he's going to build up. He's got to build it up. He's going to come in and be decent. Tavius Robinson's here. We got Kyle Van Noy. So for me, where is Isaac going to fit into this rotation? Somebody, I think it was Reg, who said yesterday, he has one pass rush move.
That's it.
And a lot of pundits have said that he doesn't stop the run very well. So what are you going to do out in the field with one move? And I understand Chuck Smith worked well with Owe and the rest of the guys and can probably help him progress. But once again, this is going to be a guy that I see doing something years down the road. I don't project him to come in and make a difference this season. So for me, this pick with Isaac, I'm going to give it a C minus. Mm-hmm. How about y'all?
I'm going to agree with you. I think this is a C minus pick. This one had me a little baffled. This was not something I can't say that I was completely shocked, because I figured they would take an edge rusher, but I did not think it was going to be this person. So, and I've heard semi good things about him, but I've also heard just everything that you just mentioned. It's not good against the run. Like, and so what's his purpose?
It was defense. That was the purpose.
No. What will his purpose be on the field? If he's limited, if he's so limited as a player at this time, and again, there's time to coach him up and, you know, the coach will work with him and hopefully he will get better. But if he only has, like Reg said, if he has only one move and that's it, he only, you know, the bull rush move, that's all he can do, then what is he going to contribute? If, and I don't like to ever speak this into existence, but if Ojabo is not ready to go game one, do we just call his number and just hope that he'll figure it out?
Yeah, that's what she'll do.
That's not very reassuring, Rodney, but thank you.
They see him as the new Tyus Bowser.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue the point with Rodney. You know, he's right. It's just something that, just like you said, it was kind of like a bitter pill to swallow. Like, wait, we went and we took who? What? That was my initial reaction.
Chen Wu with the positivity. You can always expect Chen Wu to come in here. Yeah. The value is too good. You know what? And I'm not comparing players. And, you know, I will say I fall victim to associating players with the schools that they attend. I fall victim to that quite a lot. I'm going to do that on the next pick. But when I see people that have said that Owe was the value was too good in the first round. They were lying. Oh, we got a 6'5 guy that runs 4.3. He's got to be good in the NFL. And not to, and Owe hasn't been bad, but where he was drafted, because a lot of people seem to misrepresent later picks, like second, third round picks, they're still good talent. There's still good talent to be had within the draft. And for you to go out there and just say, you know what? I'm going to just take this guy. And I'm not saying that Isaac is not going to be good. But what I'm saying is Isaac was not the best player available at that time. Because this is where I struggle with the Ravens. You say best player available, but you don't always draft the best player available. Maybe it's the best player available in your minds when you're like, oh, man, my daughter goes to that school and he's the best player at that school. So bring him on in.
Best player available is, I mean, it's kind of a fallacy. Like, it's subjective. They say, hey, yeah, right. You don't have any idea who the best player is. You know, you're ranking them based off of what you see and what you believe. And when you have guys who prefer defense over offense, the defense player is always going to be the best player available. But before you bring up the Mule Cows, I wanted this. You know, I know that, Elon, I know you don't play any video games. Hendo, I'm not sure if you ever played Madden. But this is what I wanted to comment on here. Like, for years and years and years with Madden, ever since they got the NFL license and it started going downhill, the game been trash, right? And every year, you know, it would have the same exact problems that it had the year before. Every year they would show off the new trailer and people would be like, yo, this looks like trash. Looks like the same exact game from last year. And then every year there would be people like Fresh Life who would come in and say, this is just the first trailer. It's in alpha. Like, they're not going to make any changes. And then the game would come out and it would be the exact same thing that we saw before. Like, you're saying this, Fresh Life, but that's what the Ravens do. They don't add more pieces. They don't address the issues on the offense. Every single year, they need more help on the O-line. They need more help in the wide receiver room. They don't ever address it. So no, we're not going to give them the benefit of the doubt that that's going to happen when it's not something they've ever done.
Facts. And then we brought this point up before about June 1st cuts. Just because there are June 1st cuts, they still have to want to come to Baltimore. And the Ravens still have to want to pay them. Just because somebody's getting cut, you can cut Lawrence Taylor. Does that mean that he wants to come to Baltimore? Does that mean that the Ravens have enough money to pay him? We are $7 million under the salary cap right now. $7 million. We don't have a lot of money to go around. So just because somebody gets cut doesn't mean that they're actually going to come here. And this is something that year in and year out, we can't bank on that. We can't say, well, you know, June 1st cuts are coming. So, you know, it's grocery shopping. We're going to the candy shop. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know who's going to get cut. Now, if you had something constructed with your offensive line and you're just bringing in extra pieces for depth and injury concerns, cool. We are looking for starters. We're looking to bring in starters. And you're telling me, let's wait to see who gets discarded and hope that they can still play and bring them in and help them protect Lamar or make plays for Lamar. Like, that's the part. That's what we're trying to explain to people. We don't know. You should have certain things set. And for me, the biggest thing is EDC said before the season started, I know how this offseason is going to unfold. I see how it's coming. I know we're going to have a lot of free agents. I see these things coming. So if you saw these things coming, I just think that you should have done just a tiny bit better job at constructing this offensive line. You don't get Lamar weapons. All right, cool, whatever. But as far as protecting your quarterback, we saw what happened when Lamar has not been protected.
First, I said, okay, so now you want to acknowledge me, all right. Where about the Carolina Panthers? Why are you on the Ravens podcast anyway? Where about the Panthers? Whoa. Still, what the parents is going to do? I mean, first, you could learn how to type in English. We can start there. Second of all, I'm on the Ravens podcast because I fucking want to be. What are you going to do about it, Fresh? You sitting in the chat watching. Why are you doing that? You got a problem with being on here? Click off. Go somewhere else. Nobody asked you to be in here. Nobody asked you to comment, right? And what about the Panthers? The Panthers are doing what they do. They didn't look at their quarterback getting sacked every other play and say, you know what? I'm going to draft a corner. That's, I mean, they went and they got offensive linemen. They went and they got wide receivers to help their quarterback. What did you do? What did the Ravens do for their quarterback?
All righty then. Do you want to give your grade for this one, Brad?
From the Isaac, I'll give him a C. C plus. I mean, there were, I think there were players there that they could have taken. You know, they could have gone Troy Franklin. They could have gone with Bordellini or McCormick. But I mean, it's the third round, and it's not a huge deal, right? You know, even when you're talking about a guy like Troy Franklin, obviously there's issues there. So this is more of where you just kind of look and say, hey, this is the guy who I think is the best one here. We'll go ahead and grab him, because you're not going to be solving any of your issues at that point in the draft necessarily anyway.
All right, let me say this. It's crazy. Like, some things happen, and then they, you know, you dream about them, and they happen in real life. It's just a deja vu feeling. Like, it's eerie for me. It happens a lot. But I'm going to say this. This goes for anybody. We are here to just bring people entertainment. I'm going to say that first and foremost. We're here to bring people entertainment and give our opinions. I'm not understanding why people get so butthurt about somebody else's opinion. I don't understand how grown men can panties can get to the side and just give them a wedgie and they can't get them out over somebody else's opinion. I don't understand this. And then to attack somebody, and the thing that I love is when people always say, well, the Carolina Panthers, what are you doing here? And I'm going to tell you this from personal experience, from being around this guy all damn near every day for the last several years. This man knows more about the Ravens, not being a Ravens fan, than 80% of this fan base. And if you actually listen to some of the things he says, instead of getting offended by it, you might learn something. This is what we're here for. We're here to learn from one another. I don't think that all my opinions are correct or factual or right. If you have an intelligent way to refute what I say, cool, because I want to learn too. I don't know everything. I don't know everything about football. I'm not right about everything. So why are you getting butt hurt because somebody disagrees with you? And if they do, intelligently state your point and we can have a conversation. Like, I'm not with all this stuff. Like, I done spent too long on this earth being angry about stuff and getting mad and picking fights to come here and talk about a team that we all seem to love and get mad when I attack each other. Like, if you say if you come at me and say, yo, Endo, yo, you wrong about that. Like, yo, that don't seem cool, whatever. But don't attack me as a person. I abhor violence. Like, I hate violence. I hate confrontation. I hate all of these things. I've been trying to avoid it for so long because I can go from 0 to 1,000 in 2 seconds. And when I get there, I'm with the shits. Believe that. So don't come in here with that. I appreciate you for hanging out. I appreciate you for supporting and all that other stuff. But don't come in here with this dumb stuff, because we just come here to entertain people. We come here to have conversations. We don't come here for all the rest of that stuff. But with all that, I digress, and we're going to move on. Yes, Yolanda, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to say one thing. I have to commend Brodney. This is a person who I listen to, and his breadth of knowledge for the game, not just a specific team, but this man knows so much about football, just a general working knowledge about the game. So when Brodney speaks, he's one of the few that I listen to. Doesn't mean that I always have to agree, and that's okay. But this individual who you're coming after would probably run circles around you in terms of knowledge of the game. So I'll sit that there and just think about it before next time you call him out of his name. Please don't do that. But
Yeah, right. Listen, it's crazy because I was just thinking about this earlier today. I don't know why. I don't remember what I was doing, but something hit me and was like, "Yo, these people just be coming at you." And I don't care if you come at me. And trust me when I tell you, I was born in the hood and I came from the hood and I can speak many different languages and I've majored in Ebonics, but I do not understand incoherent thoughts. I do not understand run-on sentences. I don't understand, well, maybe because I could, we did what? I don't understand it. If you want to come at me and have a conversation, yell at me, whatever, do it in sentence form. Do it in sentence structure so I can read it. Don't come with all this ignorant, dumb stuff. That's all I'm saying. Like, that's all I'm saying. If you want to come with Ebonics, I'm with that. But just make it legible.
I appreciate y'all saying that, and everybody in the chat, thank you very much. But I do want to say we are at about 41 minutes, so y'all can thank Fresh Life for getting us up out of here. And we're missing out on the rest of this eval.
Yeah,
rapid fire. We're gonna bring rapid fire over here.
That is absolutely true, Tyrone.
Rapid fire from LBHD over here for the next picks, if that would be okay, Brody.
It is crazy how they always be like, "Yeah, Brody, what about the Panthers?" I got one question. Before we move on, I got one question for you, Brody.
Mm-hmm.
What year was the last time the Panthers won a Super Bowl?
2015.
So you won a Super Bowl in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
More recently than the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But they like to try to use that against you.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Yeah. I got something to do. All right, but the fourth round pick, the Ravens, with pick 113, picked Tez Walker, wide receiver from North Carolina. Now, once again, like I stated before, I fall victim to prey when it comes to certain schools. I'm not going to lie. I am biased. I do not like Penn State edge rushers. I do not like any skill position players from the University of North Carolina. And I damn sure don't trust wide receivers from the University of Florida. I'm just saying how I feel personally. I can admit my faults. I can admit where I'm wrong and my faults. I don't trust wide receivers from the University of Florida or the University of North Carolina. So this pick right here, I understand. Hey, 6 foot, runs a 4.3. I've heard he had suspect hands. Reg told me otherwise. Reg said the dude can catch in traffic and he does a lot of things. It's just a problem with his route running.
Right. Yeah.
And we know when you transition from college football to the NFL, more times than not, speed doesn't mean a damn thing if you can't run a route.
Yeah.
So for me,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead. Please finish. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say for me, I give the pick a B minus just because they actually went after a wide receiver and tried to get Lamar a weapon. So I give them credit for at least even trying.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I've watched some Tez Walker, right? Wasn't overly impressed at all. He looked like a guy who was kind of just running by the defense, kind of like Carolina's first round pick in Leggett. And I didn't like that. Every scouting report that I've read on him mentions that he does have issues with his hands, and that he's not a good route runner, but that he tested really well. But that said, I would give that pick a B because it is late in the draft, and he does have that I won't say a special skill, but he does have that speed, right? And you just have to hope anybody you draft at that point, you're hoping that you're going to fix some flaw that is in their game to get them to a point where they're going to be productive for you, right? Mm-hmm. So they're hoping that they can refine his route running a bit, and then he'll bring a dimension to the offense that they don't necessarily currently have, right?
Sure.
So I think it's a good swing. I don't necessarily expect it to pan out.
Right.
But, I think as far as that point in the draft, it's a good pick to make. Yeah, and coaching usually doesn't fix it, though.
But, I was going to say, not this coaching staff. What wide receiver has the Ravens developed? Zay Flowers was good coming in. Mm-hmm. Hollywood was good coming in. What wide receiver have they coached up? Wrong organization for that one, bro. But I understand. But how about Yolanda? How you feel about this pick?
Happy about this one. This one I give an A. And because, spaghetti with no sugar. This one I give an A because while there are the notable issues that you mentioned, route running, questionable hands, the fact that the Ravens addressed a need. And I don't know if this is going to be our big body wide receiver at 6'1". Maybe he is. Maybe this is the remedy that, we've been asking for, a big body wide receiver. I personally was asking for DK Metcalf, but this is not DK. The fact that we're bringing in someone to potentially be a weapon for Lamar, I'm happy about that.
All right. Listen, for me, I think that I just right now, my calm is due to, I said this season, I'm just going to be overly optimistic. I said this season, I'm going all in. I'm going to be overly optimistic about what I think that the Ravens are actually going to do. And I still believe, because there's reports out there that Deebo Samuels and Brandon Ayuk are on the table to be traded. And I do believe my heart of hearts, EDC is going to go out there and get one of them. And this is why I'm not really, this is why I took the draft with a grain of salt. But more importantly than that, I need to ask y'all a question. Does sugar belong with spaghetti? Because, you know, this is a hot debate. Sugar with spaghetti? Yolanda?
Absolutely. Yes, because the sugar, and you don't skip it because it balances the saltiness of the spaghetti sauce. So, yes. A pinch of sugar.
Okay. All right. Listen, multimedia. This is the crazy thing. Chris Moore will always be a Ravens legend because Chris Moore is the first wide receiver the Ravens have drafted to get a second contract.
I really thought Fresh Life was like not stupid enough to comment again. I'm not even going to read that. We're going to go ahead and bam.
I'm sorry. I skipped him. What did
Oh no, it's gone. I figured he was still there and just smart enough to keep quiet, but then he put another comment. It took him a while to formulate that thought, but that's all right. He took his time and I think he was probably checking the grammar on it, but we're not reading any more comments, Fresh.
But yes, Chris Moore, the first wide receiver to get a second contract with the Ravens. Rashad Bateman is the first round wide receiver to get a second contract with the Ravens.
An extension. So it says something.
Yeah, I missed the comments too. Was it on some violent stuff?
I don't know. I just saw the first sentence, and then I was like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Oh. But okay.
Coach says that Tez just needs to come in and take the top off the defense, and I'm not sure why you think he'll be able to do that. Because it's not just being fast. You've had fast receivers before. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do that, Nana. You're not going to do that.
He did that in like one game.
Listen, he dropped those three passes versus the Lions, but he still had a lower catch rate than everybody's favorite wide receivers in the NFL that season. Yeah. He still had the lowest catch rate. I'm sorry, lower drop rate than everybody else in the NFL. People want to keep going back to that. Now, when Zay drops balls, it's excuses being made. I don't hear people saying about all the balls that Zay drops because Zay drops a lot of balls.
They don't talk about the drives that the drops that Rashad Bateman has either because they love Rashad.
I mean, you know, once again, Game of Thrones. It is known. We don't even have to mention Rashad Bateman. It is known. But let's move on to the next one. And this is the one for me to blow my mind. Fifth round, pick 130. The Baltimore Ravens drafted TJ Tampa, cornerback from Iowa State. How do you feel?
I'm gonna give this one an A+, right? Because you said he's a little undersized. He's not a great athlete, but he's a football player. Carolina got one of them too, so I need to believe.
I don't know. This one I give a B minus C plus to this. Why did we take another corner? For what? Why did we do it? And like you said, he's a football player, but not very athletic.
So when did the Ravens decide they wanted to start drafting football players? When did they decide that?
I don't know.
Because normally it's height, weight, speed. Normally it's that. You know, I don't
mean. Do you see Z the Beast comment?
What'd he say?
He said no one talks about Lamar throwing people the ball when they're open either, referencing Rashad Bateman. And I'm like, only the Ravens fan base would go at their two-time MVP quarterback in defense of a third or fourth receiver who's been a bust in the first few seasons. It's incredible. It's incredible to watch.
Yeah, I think he's like 6'1".
Yeah, that's all right. But
yeah. But he's not fast, he's not athletic, and he can't tackle.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know. I don't know much about this guy. Right? I've heard good things, you know. And again, at that point in the draft, you're throwing darts anyway. They didn't need another corner, so I mean, I guess you could downgrade the pick for that. But
yeah, definitely, I downgraded it to a B minus C plus because of that.
So, I guess I'll go with C plus. And once again, it's not always It's not always about the player. It's not always about the individual in question. My thing is, where is he going to play at? You got Marlon. You got Stevens. You got Mallett. You got Pepe, Darius Washington, and you got Wiggins. It's five corners right there. Where is this guy going to play? Special teams?
Did you say Jalen Armour Davis?
I did.
Yeah, no, he's not going to play.
Okay. Neither is Davis.
Or Armour Davis or
Pepe. They're both out the door.
So, like, I mean, I'm not really expecting much from him. The only issue that I have is people are going to say he's a fourth-round pick. You don't expect much from fourth-round picks. But when we drafted Pepe and Jalen Armour Davis, it was like, yo, they're fourth-round picks. They're going to contribute now. They're going to be amazing.
Maybe you learned your lesson. He says Lamar's all we got, but he can't be better. Nazi, go tell EDC to be better. Go tell Harbaugh to be better. Go tell Monken to be better. Go tell all of your receivers to be better. Go tell your O-line to be better. And you know what else? Go tell your defense to be better so that they don't get beat by Marquez Valdes-Scantling on a critical third down in the conference championship game before you come and tell Lamar to be better. Just do those things first. You can tell Lamar to be better, but just do those other things first.
Everybody be better. All right, with the 165th pick, the Baltimore Ravens selected running back Rasheen Ali from Marshall. I'm not even gonna hold you. I don't know nothing about this kid.
Nothing. I think for me, this is where it just went completely south. It went downhill from here. At this point, it was just a big question mark for me for the remainder of the draft pick. So you could just count me out for contributing to the rest of this conversation because I really don't know anything about them and I don't have a grade to give.
I don't know anything about him. I give him a B+ just for going after a running back, you know, only because listen, I know Keaton Mitchell's going to come back at some point. I know Keaton's going to come back at some point, but as of right now, you just have Derrick Henry and Justice Hill. So you need that kind of go in between. You need somebody so that you don't wear Derrick Henry out for the end of the season. So coach says he gives it a B.
You need someone who can play. We just talked about in the last pick. We just talked about a non-athletic football player. Does that make it right? Does that make it a good pick? If they come on the field and they look like crap, I'm happy that they took a running back here.
But they say this one is athletic and can play.
Okay. Well, then we'll see.
I can't even argue with you, Banks. I don't know.
I'm sure it's fine. The thing that always gets me about draft season, and this isn't even necessarily a bad thing, in is that it's 100% positive, right? Coach is saying he's a great zone runner, you know, one cut and go, great production, blah blah, but he's not telling you why he was there late on day three, right? And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not saying that he can't play or anything. I'm just saying that that's the case with all players who get drafted. So when you listen to draft coverage, a lot of fans kind of get, you know, they have inflated expectations for rookies, right? Because all you hear is, hey, he does this well, he does that well, he does this well, he does that well. Best case scenario, man, you got a steal. And you hear that 255 times. And then half of the players you get drafted don't make the team.
No, Bradley.
INJF's comment, INJF Tyrone's comment, and he said, you know, you can go get a running back during the remainder of the offseason. He thinks that this was a waste of a pick. I don't know if I'm going to say it.
No, not so fast, my friend. You spoke one pick too. Not so fast, my friend. But before we move on to this next one, I was on Twitter earlier, and somebody tweeted out or responded to a tweet and said, yo, the Ravens have got some undrafted free agents. They about to transform this team and make us unbeatable.
Hmm. Yeah, Carolina got one apparently as well, Jalen Coker. And Steve Smith loves him. So, you know, that really charged up the fan base as well. You know, maybe let him hit the field first and do something before you get really excited.
All right. So, like I said, not so fast. You spoke a little too soon. Pick 218. The Ravens selected Devin Dennis Leary, quarterback from Kentucky. I don't know anybody that likes it.
That picks an, I mean, that picks a D. Because, I mean, look, again, at this point in the draft, you're not, I mean, you're not really passing on great talent to get these guys, right? But I say it's a D just because he's very, very unlikely to make the team, I think.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, this one, I would say, they're just kind of, you know, just casting the line out there and seeing if something comes back.
He said, we are so unserious.
You need a backup QB.
Oh, you're talking about the running back. My bad. I was talking about the quarterback. And I was like, so to me, listen, and I understand what everybody's saying when they say, hey, what do you expect? What do you expect from a fifth, sixth, seventh round pick? I don't expect anything from them. But the thing for me is, if you don't expect anything out of your 2 7th round picks, you don't expect anything out of your 6th round pick and your 5th round pick, why not use those to trade up? If you're not expecting anything out of these guys, why not utilize the extra picks that you have to move up and get somebody that you really want? You see how many teams moved up in the draft to actually get players that they wanted? Mm-hmm. Like, it was refreshing seeing guys like, yo, this is the guy we targeted, whether he's going to be good or not. They targeted a guy and moved up and got him. Or if they felt like, hey, this guy ain't for me, they moved back. So for me, picking up useless players that aren't going to make the roster, it makes no sense. Couple years ago, we had 11 draft picks. There was no way 11 draft picks were going to make this team. Why utilize all of them?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Endo, but and I agree generally speaking, particularly when you're talking about late picks like that. But you know, to push back a little bit, you draft these players because sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you do. Yeah, and you got lucky with Geno Stone, right? And sometimes those guys will pan out. And also, people really, really don't like to talk about this right after the draft. But hey, Nate Wiggins is a great prospect, right? Roger is a plug and play right tackle, right? Isaac is a probably better than the first rounder, Chop Robinson, who came out of Penn State this year, right? Right. Chances are all three of those guys are not going to be good. Right. So the players that you really do like that you spent your picks on, you're not going to get what you thought you're getting out of those guys most years. And so you do want to have, you know, some of those guys later that you can take a chance on and maybe they surprise you. Also, you know, since Fresh outed me here, I'm a Carolina fan. Dave Gettleman was their GM for several years. Right. He never once used 7 picks. Okay. Never once used 7 draft picks. And they came out of that era with absolutely no depth anywhere on the team.
Right.
So, I mean, you do have to you have to grab guys at some point, even if you don't necessarily believe that they're going to be good players are going to make the team, because, you know, they'll get out on the field and they'll prove you wrong occasionally. And then, you know, they turn out to be valuable to the team later on.
Okay. But to push back, move up a couple
spots and get an offensive lineman, though.
But to push back even a little bit more on you, Rodney, when has the team done that? When has this team done it?
Oh yeah, they don't. That's why I don't think Eric DaCosta is a good GM. You can't say, oh, we don't trade up. That's not what we do. Like, I'm not saying that you should trade up frequently. I think that's a losing proposition, right? You know, a lot of times. But it can't be something that you take out of the toolbox, right? Just altogether. You know, you look at the team who has been winning in Kansas City. Right. And everybody talked about how they were a defensive team last year and you know, they changed. They were defense and run first and blah, blah. They didn't have great receivers. They traded up and got a receiver, and then they traded up and got a tackle, you know, after signing a wide receiver in free agency. You know,
so are you talking about the team that won the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah. A few of them, actually.
So they struggled on the offensive line during the regular season, and they struggled with scoring points and their wide receivers driving the ball. So what you're telling me is they went after their deficiencies and made a Super Bowl winning team even better.
It was weird, but they looked at the team and they said, which part of this team is not working? Let's address that. And you know what's really funny about that? They lost L'Jarius Sneed, who's one of the best corners in the league, and they didn't draft Nate Wiggins. They said, you know what's better? Let's get Xavier Worthy, who's going to score points for us.
That's a great point. How do you feel about that, Yolanda? That's a great point. They lost one of the better cornerbacks in the league and drafted right before the Ravens and said, you know what? screw that. We'll let our defensive front and those other young cornerbacks that we have, because they have a bevy of young cornerbacks to deal with. Outside, they may not be as good as Jerry Sneed, but they can hold their own. And with Chris Jones up front, I adjust them at a BK. They don't have a pad. They don't have a Roquan Smith. They don't have a Kyle Hamilton, but they decided to take a wide receiver.
I'll tell you what, D-Banks, who says EDC is not to blame for the AFC championship game. If you're not going to blame him for that offense not being able to put up points, don't give him credit for getting to the AFC championship game either.
Appreciate you, Coach. Touché. Appreciate you. So, yeah. All right. Next pick. Nick's, what is it? Samak? Inside linebacker, Michigan State. I believe he played center at Michigan State, and he's going to move into over to guard in the NFL. I mean, seventh round pick, but he may turn out to be somebody. Like they like some of the comps and assessments of him. They say he's one of those guys that he gets down and dirty, and he has a nasty streak to him. And I think that's something that the Ravens are sorely missing. They're missing those guys that are going to get in the face and protect their quarterback. As much as we love Ronnie Stanley, he doesn't protect Lamar Jackson. Lamar gets hit late. Ronnie Stanley looks down at him and walks away. He don't even help him up. So can he develop? I don't know. Me, I just like competition. The cream rises to the top. The more competition you bring in, the better opportunity you have of picking the best player. So for me, seventh round, anything goes. I think this is actually a good pick. I'm going to give this pick a B+.
I'm gonna go closer to Coach there and say D, because I just don't like drafting injured players like that. I know there are some GMs who think that's kind of a cheat code, where you're getting what would have been a much higher pick, but he would have just been drafted higher if he were better. He got drafted where he was gonna go, and he's hurt.
Yeah. So for that, I'm gonna give it a D.
He broke his leg.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you like this. Near the end of the season, he fractured his fibula.
Because I tell you like this. After the Ravens picked TJ Tampa, I turned the draft off. I ain't gonna hold you. I turned the draft. Wow. A team that's been injured, we love drafting injured players.
We took another.
But listen, Ravens flock is gonna tell you he's gonna be our starting guard. Because we love people that have never played an NFL snap to say how well they're going to do. Amazing. Yeah. Remarkable. All right, the last pick. Sanusi Kane. Safety from Purdue.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, Hendo. Just like you, I forgot that there was a pick after that Michigan State center. I don't know anything about this guy. But again, you throw the darts wherever you want to throw them in the seventh. And if you hit, you hit. If you don't, you don't. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter. So
best of luck to Mr. Kane, though.
Apparently, he is more of the linebacker type. Mm-hmm. And he's going to play closer to the line of scrimmage. He may allow. Geno Stone played.
Yeah. After the second time you cut him.
That's true.
People tend to forget about that. We didn't develop Geno Stone. He went to two other teams and got tutelage from them, and then came back and played a lot better. So that says a lot. But so to me, it depends. It depends on what they do with Ardarius Washington. Like if he can stay healthy, and whatever role he carves out, if he can't, they may have to bring him in, because right now they only have two safeties. Chimwu, you are just the most positive person ever. One of these days, we're going to find out your real identity.
And he's got a DC avatar, so you know you can't listen now.
He got a DC avatar? Yeah, DC, bro.
I'm with you now. This is a C. This one is a C. I give this great, I give him a C.
I'm going to tell you like this, Tyrone. I've been fooled by highlight packages before. I've watched highlight packages of wide receivers. I love the wide receiver position. And I watched highlight tapes and was like, yo, this dude is going to be amazing. And then he gets in and he's Jalen Reagor.
Yes. Yeah. You cannot watch highlights. You have to just watch the actual games.
Facts, Xavier.
And even that will not always lead you in the right direction.
I hope you're right, Robert. I hope Zach does coach them up, but what if he doesn't? that will be speculation. So come back in a few weeks into the season, and we'll, you know, or mid-season, and we can talk about it.
Zach Wall ain't going to be coaching up nobody. He's your defensive coordinator.
That's true. He's just going. He's just going to make the calls.
He's going to make the calls. So.
The position coaches, and we lost. We lost a bunch of them.
All your senior staff on defense, pretty much.
All right. So overall, what do you give this Ravens draft? Yeah, he did. Just like a little Tommy Street had a highlight package. Man. What do you expect from the University of Miami?
Overall, I'm going to give it a B minus, C plus. I'm going to give it a B minus. B minus.
So you give the whole Ravens draft a B minus, Brody?
I'm going to give it a. I'm probably going to give it a C. That the first pick is I mean borderline malpractice to me. You know who was George Pickens though, BP? George Pickens. Y'all didn't draft him. Took David Ojabo instead.
What's up?
You know what would be really cool? Had you not taken David Ojabo, this Adisa Isaac pick would be looking pretty good.
No, there would be no problems. I would have no
problem.
Damn, Tyrone. Listen, Tyrone, I'm not even going that far.
Yeah, Tyrone, that's the, I understand.
Listen, though, if you get to training camp, right, and no, it's not, Coach, and Roger isn't the guy that they all say he is, right? Because even when we were streaming for the draft, Coach read his scouting report on air, and the scouting report said he's a backup swing tackle who could eventually develop into a starter. If that's the truth, rather than being a plug and play right tackle, then this draft looks completely, you know, just awful, because you did nothing to protect your quarterback at all.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Jesse. I got lost for a minute. I thought you were talking about the Ravens and their ability to pick wide receivers in any round. I'm sorry, my bad. But yeah, I mean, I'll give them a C plus. And like you said, a lot of you really can't judge this draft until years down the line. But from the way that it's looking, a lot of these guys will not be playing this year. They're not going to be playing. Hopefully, we found our right tackle of the future. Hopefully, Wiggins can come in and show some stuff, and I don't know, hold down CB3, I guess. I'm not a fan of drafting people in the first round and having them sit unless you're a quarterback, and sometimes even they don't need to sit. I don't know. Whoa. What's going on, bro? Appreciate you for dropping by. It says disparage EDC's picks, but offer no alternative. Who would you have taken? We've offered alternatives many times.
What do you mean? Bruce?
We've offered many times.
Okay, like, but if you want an alternative for the Nate Wiggins pick, it's JPJ out of Oregon.
Yeah.
Second round pick was awesome. Third round pick, yeah. Troy Franklin.
Or Mason McCormick.
You know, and it's not to disparage his draft picks, but you have to look at the history of what Eric DaCosta has done. He's had the most draft picks.
D-Banks? What are you talking about?
Wait a minute. What lineman was going to sit? Who's starting in front of him? We've got Ronnie Stanley, left tackle. Tyler Linderbaum at center. Who else do we have starting?
Man, this is your channel, so I'm not going to block D Banks over here. But man, like,
you know, let me see
you on Wednesday, Banks.
First of all, you know, D Banks just loves the cause.
Don't let me see you on Wednesday, Banks.
All right, look, we've been here for an hour and 10 minutes.
You said that when they drafted a corner to sit.
You know, he just likes mess with you, B. Like, it's cool. We're about to get about it. We've been here for way too long. But listen, appreciate you all for hanging out with us once again. This is just a discussion. We're giving our opinions. And also, It's 211 people in here. 211 people at the end of the stream. I appreciate you all. Make sure before you go, you hit that like button and subscribe. We got goals here. We got goals. We just hit 4,000 subscribers. My stuff ain't working. We just hit 4,000 subscribers. And congratulations. I appreciate you all. I appreciate you all. Listen, for some reason it ain't working today, but shout out to Brandon Buckingham. He says, hope y'all are having a good stream. Cardinals had a better draft. Peace out. I'm not even gonna hold you.
Cardinals had better. That's what happens when your team is trash and you're picking the top five.
Cardinals had a lot of picks. And I will say y'all had a great draft. Y'all just don't have great seasons. But I do appreciate you for the donation. We about to get up out of here. Yolanda. Please let the people know. You got something very special coming up tomorrow night. What you got going on?
That was terrible of you, Hendo, to say about Arizona. What? You can have good drafts, Arizona, but
I'm sorry.
It was funny.
I'm sorry. I apologize. The state of Arizona is horrible. The Coyotes. No. They left. The Diamondbacks, the Suns, the Cardinals.
The Suns going to get that one win just like the Lakers did. Don't you worry.
Gentlemen sweep.
Well, I mean, the Lakers are coming all the way back, but the Suns, yes, gentlemen sweep.
Watch out for those Orlando Magic.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I will not, and you know, nothing will happen.
That's fine. That's no problem at all. You can find me on Ravens Talk with Yolanda. Come by tomorrow night, 7:30 Eastern Time, where we are doing a recap of the draft with our rival. Yes, there's a YouTuber who will be joining us from one of our rival teams, and we'll talk about how our team fared in the draft and how our rival did. So hope to see you all there.
All right. Rodney, Tyrone wants to know, what grade did you give the Panthers?
So for the Panthers, was not a fan of the first round pick, Leggett. Second round pick, I liked, you know, the player in Brooks. Thought it was I didn't think it was necessary to go running back in the second round, but yeah, you know, I thought that was a, you know, decent pick. After that was the third pick. The third pick was, I can't even remember now. I know that Jatavion Sanders was the first pick in the fourth round, but I'm trying to. Oh, that's right. They took the linebacker from Kentucky two rounds early. Jatavion Sanders looked pretty good, so I'm gonna give them right now. I'm gonna give them a C minus, but I'm hopeful for Xavier Leggett and Jonathan Brooks to be big time contributors this year. I'm hopeful, but C minus.
All right. See, Bradley's not biased. All right, Bradley, let the people know what you got going on and where they can find you during your 6 days a week streaming.
You make me depressed every time you say that. You can find me over on Lunch Break Hot Take every Wednesday evening at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time for the LBHT show, followed up by the Overtime show for patrons. You can find me on this channel on Sunday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Any Given Sunday. You can find me on Monday nights over on Sip to Tally Films for the Ravens Roundup with Hendo, Jose, OTR Mike, Chris Just Joking, and of course Coach Evans, but not tomorrow, right? I don't think we're doing it tomorrow.
Yeah, we are supposed to be doing it tomorrow.
We are? Okay. On Tuesdays, you can find me over on Suge Knight 323 at 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time for the Steel Conspiracy. And then, you know, whenever there's a major boxing event, you can find me over on Ring Kings Podcast.
Yes, indeed. Are we doing a show Tuesday night?
I do not know.
Oh. I mean, it'd be good. Look, if we didn't have a show Monday, we didn't have a show Tuesday, I'm with it. But you can also catch me on Tuesday nights before you catch me on Steel Claw. You can catch me with my man, Mr. Galloway, on Electric Relaxation with Mr. Galloway, talking all things hip-hop, particularly old school. If you want to find out what's going on in the world of hip-hop, you want to find out what's happening in the beat that's going on, check out my mans. He just dropped an EP. He just dropped a hot video. Dre just dropped a hot video. So make sure you go over to Electric Relaxation and check it out. It was professionally done. He debuted on the channel Tuesday with him and Amaj Beats. Make sure you go check it out. So, hey, that's it for this week. Somehow we didn't turn this draft to an hour and 15-minute conversation. Once again, I'm going to say this for the last time. We're here to just entertain. That's all. It's no need for all the extra. It's no need for all the tomfoolery. But once again, I'm with the shits if we get down to it. But I'm a grandfather, so I try to stay with it.
Yes, you need to calm down, Papa.
All right, Yolanda, you want to hit us off with the saying one time since you're here, if you can remember it. I don't think that you'll remember it, but go for it.
Of course I will. Of course I will.
Challenge accepted.
Absolutely.
All right.
Never give in to conformity. Think for yourself. You need to formulate your own opinions and continue to do important things because you are important. And we'll see you next week.
That wasn't it.
You was three out of four.
So close.
So close. The last one. You messed up on the last one.
She tried to just make something up and just smile through it. You saw that?
Yeah. Right. Do important things.
No.
No.
Be important.
All right.
Be important.
All right. Listen.
Be yourself.
Right. Be somebody important. If y'all didn't watch Captain Chesapeake back in the day.
No, that's what granted,
we out.